Jeremy's just a fucking whiner.
Yeah.
So
please make that the opening stinger.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're at a MegaCon. Someone in an audience answers our five questions, and we get progressively drunker. Enjoy!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host today, Nick Glover. I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Wick.
Hi.
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And we're at OmegaCon.
Yay!
For those of you that don't know, OmegaCon is a... It's just outside Minnesota, just inside Wisconsin. Kind of a relaxicon is what it's called, mm-hmm. where we slack, play board games. Maybe some of us drink
lots of drinking.
And we're all kind of in this beautiful like wood lodge with all sorts of farm tools and
lots of dead animals.
There's
dead
so
animals.
Many, dude.
Lots of dead animals.
Okay, so we have Nick and I are gonna put party hats and fake sunglasses on the deer heads and stuff.
I want the bear that's down by registration. I want to put a, like, we're number one foam finger on its paw. With, like, the OmegaCon symbol
there's
on it.
There's stuffed bears everywhere. And there's old boat motors.
Yeah.
They're like,
just, like, on display.
So,
labeling.
Molly and I brought some friends with us, Pavel and Michelle, our newlywed friend couple. And Pavel's a big fisher. He's in the audience now. He loves fishing like fucking crazy for fishing. And so when we first got in and we're going through the lobby to go to our room, he's like, oh, you guys, oh, hang on. And he's totally stopping and checking out these motors, these boat engines that are downstairs.
He's geeking out over the fishing motors.
Like,
no, awesome.
You don't know. This is an antique. You don't know how much this is worth.
Oh, that's like, awesome geekiness.
Like,
geeking out over fishing motors is
that's
perfect.
Then he knew what kind
specific.
Of motor it was.
Yeah, he recognized
it. It was valuable.
See, that's perfect because of our episode, right? Like
geeky boners. Yeah, yeah. Pavel has geeky boners for fishing stuff.
His geeky boners inspired me.
And this
I'm inspired by Pavel's boner.
So before we do our November geeky boners, we've got a drink, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So someone did like a Doctor Who themed party, and they had a whole bunch of Doctor Who drinks, and one of them sounded really good. So we got these disposable Jagerbomb shot glasses that are it's like a low ball with a shot glass sculpted into it, the plastic glass. So in
it's
the middle,
really cool.
Yeah.
In the middle, we have a shot of blue curacao. Curacao. And on the outside, what that is, you know, quote, floating in, is Clementine vodka and orange-flavored sparkly water. So it's kind of like a screwdriver because it's orange and vodka, but it's a sonic screwdriver. Or the one I made for Tim is a subsonic screwdriver.
Yeah,
because
I don't drink, and so
no.
I asked for
But there's
really
a little alcohol in this, everyone. You're about to hear Tim would drink alcohol.
It probably happens maybe like once every few years, probably.
Yeah, about that.
So it's,
we'll put a picture of them.
Yeah,
take a picture of them because they're really pretty.
But I'm like, I got to do this. I feel like we got to do this all together. So
yeah,
I would have
Tim, raise your glass. I just want to... There we go. Just document that for...
Right. Get a shot of the nice ones over there, too, while we...
We're
okay.
going to put that on the show notes.
Yes,
yeah.
It's true. Because so it's a really rich blue floating in, like, a crystally clear... And so it looks like the sonic screwdriver, kind of, with the blue light and the... I don't know.
It's kind of tardis-y, right?
It's tardis-y.
So,
all right.
So all of our audience here...
We all have them, right? Yeah.
We're going to... There we go. Geeky boners.
Yeah, boners. Oh, my God. It's so good.
I hate alcohol. Shit. My God. There was that. There was hardly any.
Hey, this is a really hot noise, right?
You sound kind of like a TARDIS right there.
Boys right now are like, that's what I hope my future wife is like.
That's the noise
she makes.
Yep. That's their thinking.
All the youth who listen to this podcast.
I bet we're...
All the kids out there.
Yeah.
Should
have fucking been. no, just kidding, children that aren't listening. These hypothetical non-listener children.
Just kidding, hypothetical children.
You can hypothetically go. Molly, is there anything in particular so far? It's Saturday. Is there anything really geeky that you've been having fun with?
I've been on a, like, okay, so I love goats, but I've been on, like, an extra hard goat kick lately. Like,
what?
You've had an extra hard goat boner?
So here's the thing. I really love goats, as you probably know from my many talks about how much I love it. I have this goat hat. I'm going to put it on right now. So what I love about them is everything. But sometimes, like, my intense adoration and just thrilling, just I'm just delighted by goats. It like spikes a little bit, so I'll start to seek out more like articles. Like I'll read all about like the mountain goats, or like recently when we did our Ville podcast, I looked up, my fucked up news was about
a goat
being kidnapped from a petting zoo and then being returned with its nails painted, and they don't know who did it. I swear it wasn't me. But I'm jealous that I didn't have that idea.
I mean, if they asked me who I thought it was, I would say you.
Yeah, you turned me in at the drop of a hat. I'd be in the airlock so fast. Like, you're like, no, it was her.
Yeah, you'd be out the airlock.
She has nail polish. Like,
Wait. They have airlocks if you steal a goat from a...
Well, no. It's
a Battlestar Galactica. Keep up. Jesus Christ. All right, so... Tim has had this like teaspoon of alcohol.
Yeah.
And Nick and I have been drunk since Friday afternoon.
It's true.
That's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate.
At least 27 hours.
So you've had, even though we're at OmegaCon and it's like board games and alcohol and
I've been reading
stuff,
up about goats in my spare time.
Reading about goats in your spare
time. I woke
time.
Up this morning and I took a hot bath, and while I was in the bathtub, I read 4 articles about goats on Wikipedia.
Wow, that made it an extra hot bath.
Yeah, it was me in this uncomfortable bathtub reading about pygmy goats. Did you know that they were the first domesticated animal? Yeah.
I have the weirdest boner right now. All right.
So, yeah, I have a goat boner.
So, Tim, how about you? Anything in particular this weekend?
Yeah, it's been a great weekend. I run the movie room at OmegaCon, so been showing some cool movies. We watched Cabin in the Woods last night.
You had kind of a theme.
Yeah, the theme was Wrath of God.
Right.
Because it is 2012. We all know the world's going to end in December. And I thought, let's look at a few possible
Every rational
ways,
person knows.
A few ways that could possibly happen.
Sure.
So we watched 2012 on Friday.
I still haven't seen it. I don't want to. I don't plan to.
There's no really good reason to watch it.
Liked your post about it. Said, we spent the entire movie worrying about the fate of 2 adorable children while simultaneously not even giving a shit that all the other adorable children on Earth were dead.
Yes. Yeah. You're worried about the 2 adorable children that you've met. All the other adorable children, you know. You're
fuck just those children.
Like, fuck them.
This isn't their story.
It's a terrible movie. It's a movie where it's basically asking you to hope through the entire film that the 4 white people that you know personally will survive and fuck everybody else.
Is it worse than The Day After Tomorrow? Because that was terrible. Because when he escaped the ice by shutting the library door, and the ice just ran up the door because apparently it couldn't go through.
Yeah, they had a fire. You know, come on. Don't you understand how that works? It's like outrunning explosion, except it's outrunning a super deep freeze.
Yeah.
Do you look badass if you don't look at the deep freeze when you're running away from it? Like you don't.
You look way badass. Yeah. But there's no deep freeze. Anyway, the point is, it's really hard to pick what's worse, Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. That's right.
They are an equal level of bad. But then last night we watched Cabin in the Woods, and if you've seen Cabin in the Woods, it absolutely fit the theme.
It's like the definition of the theme.
Most of the people in the room had not seen it yet. So
that's fun.
Fucking awesome.
That must have been fun to see.
So many people are like, wow! I didn't see that coming.
You know, I've said it before, but it's such a... I feel like carrying on the legacy of like Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. Like, it's horror. It's gory as shit. There's so much blood and violence.
Oh, it's
but it's
great.
All kind of tongue-in-cheek. And then there's lots of really, really funny bits that are...
Yeah, it's like horror comedy.
It right. is.
It's not just like horror comedy.
It is horror comedy.
Absolutely.
But it's not cheesy where it's not still scary. It's a little scary because it's well done.
It makes me excited for the Evil Dead remake.
I'm really excited for that.
Even though that's not made by Joss Whedon.
No. Well, no. Or Raimi. Raimi's producing.
Nick's not on Joss Whedon's dick,
He picks the director... And Bruce Campbell's producing on it too, and they're both talking about how great it is, and it's they're doing the script for Evil Dead, but they're not doing a remake. They're doing it from they're doing the script.
So refilming the original script.
Yeah, and the original Evil Dead is horror, Like, it's not funny horror like Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness as much. It's cheesy funny. So they're going to do, like, you know, straight up fucking, like, Deadite horror movie.
It looks pretty fucking horrific.
The makeups
too, like,
and the
creature effects are amazing.
When they show the Deadites,
just the trailer.
What they have on their face and the paint. It looks so translucent, like dead, rotting, translucent flesh. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for it.
I'll try and post the trailer.
Yeah, show notes. It'll be great.
The other thing, I haven't actually managed to play some games. The game that I'm going to mention that I played that I think is actually really fun. I like the long strategy games.
Okay.
You know, like 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't get a chance to play too many of those because of doing movies. But I played a game yesterday called Aura and Labora. Have you guys played that?
No.
I have not.
I haven't heard of it.
It's a little bit like Agricola in that, you know, it's a similar sort of thing where you've got a mat that you're trying to build up your monastery. You're actually an Irish monk.
Okay.
And you're trying to build up your monastery and the villages that are around your monastery, supplying your monastery with supplies. It was a really fun game. I really enjoyed it.
Would you describe it as like a Euro game?
Yes, I would describe it as a Euro game, not in any kind of nasty way, because
no.
I like Euro games.
But as like an accurate...
I think it definitely falls into that category. If you've played Agricola, I think you'll find that I found it really easy to pick up because I've played Agricola before.
I want to chime in and say that I also played a game. Nick and I played a game for the first time that I really like, that I'm currently obsessed with and cannot wait to play again. I'll be playing it immediately after this podcast, which is Bonanza. It's B-O-H-N-A-N-Z-A.
Beans.
And it's a bean planting game, and if that doesn't sound fun to you, you're fucking wrong. It's amazing. It's super fun.
It's like quick turnaround investment game by planting beans in a scarce real estate.
And it's a conniving, like, bargaining game, which is
there's
great.
A lot of underhanded...
It reminds me of this game that I played in New York that I don't remember the name because I don't think it had one. Then it was a test game, and it was, like, a lot of lying and swapping.
Yeah,
I love those kinds of card games. And
Treasury.
We also played... What's the one that Eric has played today? Another card game.
The Six Rows...
Six Piece or something?
Is it Pick Six?
Six Picks. That was a great fun game.
My wife, she is totally excited.
Yeah, she
will play that game for any time, any reason.
It was awesome.
I did pretty...
Yeah.
I came in third in that, and I feel like that's the kind of game... Like, that kind of strategy I adore.
We
busted out Forbidden Island.
Oh, Forbidden Island was
fun. I was in the Reddit...
Did you play that?
No,
I was in the Reddit board games exchange, and that was the board game that my Secret Santa picked for me and sent me. It was Forbidden Island. We hadn't had a chance to play it yet.
It's 10 and up, and your kids would play that game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Your kids play Seven Wonders. Your kids would play Forbidden Island.
It kind of reminds you of Survive.
It's not hard.
A little bit like Escape from Atlantis, whatever.
The
Survive.
Mechanic is really simple, so it's easy to.
But then, like, it's also like Adventurers, kind of the Fantasy Flight.
Oh
game.
Yeah, Adventurers. Because
it's. Because it's
my kids love that game.
It's cooperative risk management rather than like cutthroat risk management.
Yeah.
So it's like
cooperative is more fun.
You know what it reminds me of actually more than anything else is Pandemic, because everyone has a class and you're all working together and it's like I'll give you this resource and then you can go do this with your power and then you can do there and then we'll get to the end and it's like everyone has their role. And you're playing against the game and it's a lot like Pandemic.
Sweet.
Even the flood. Thing works a lot like pandemic, epidemic outbreaks.
Well, I also got to point out we have a cribbage tournament here at
AmeriCon.
I made it up to I was second place. I made it to the championship round.
Who did you go against?
Peter Brandt.
Oh, that's
you guys won. You guys were the championship.
Yeah, we were head to head championship. I won because we weren't. Why I lost because we weren't playing cutthroat. If we'd been playing cutthroat, I would have won because Peter missed 8 points on his second to last hand.
So you know that.
Were you playing against Peter Buchholz?
Loser.
No, I did. I beat him.
Like, I would have won, but
I beat Peter Buchholz, and then I beat Peter.
Peter
Bryant
beat me in a cribbage game that was unlike any other. I'm just gonna make a blog post about it because it was. If you like cribbage, I'll post it. It was amazing.
Afterwards,
I'm gonna geek out about it. I don't care.
After that game, Molly caught up with me. I was hanging out with someone else, and she's like. Oh boy, I just lost the cribbage game, but like it's
of my life.
It's an amazing story, and she's about to start telling her cribbage story, and I go, hang on a second, wait, is it a story that's only interesting if you know how to play cribbage? And she goes, yes. And I'm like, well, do I have to hear it?
So because totally.
I don't know how to play cribbage.
It won't make sense. It won't make nearly as much sense to you.
Yeah. You might as well be talking about cricket.
So if you know how to play cribbage, the story is the Iliad. You don't even know. It was amazing. I'm going to tell it in chorus
The Iliad of cribbage. All right. So
it's going to be a moral chorus behind me telling you the lessons to be learned from my cribbage game story.
So this podcast is going to go up on Tuesday, and later in the week you're going to post a blog.
Yes.
On Geeks Without God that's going to explain this cribbage game.
No, hang on. Who was it that had the life lesson that's that in order to teach yourself not to make bold claims when you're drunk, you have to follow through on all of them when you're sober?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Just making sure we're all right,
you know, same. If we were going to have children, I'm going to tell this story to the dog. How's that? I'm going to tell this story to the dog.
Wow.
Doug's he needs be like, to hear all this.
Doug's going to be like, girl, have meat?
The dog is going to understand. I'll show me the dog.
The dog plays cribbage. Okay.
All right. What about your geeky boners for the weekend, Nick? Well, that's the idea. Yeah.
All right.
Never mind.
We've been. Molly and I like to. We like to make like a signature drink for the bartending shifts, and my mom's cleaned out their liquor cabinet of some months ago, and they gave us all their remnants. So we have all these weird, really rare, strange liqueurs in our room. We donated most of them to the bar here because that weird stuff is really fun to have in a huge bar.
Because Omegacon is an open bar.
Omegacon is actually a 21 and older con. So if there are any geeky atheists out there from Minnesota, you've never been to this con before, seriously, it's a bunch of 21 and older people drinking, playing games, hanging around in their pajamas. There's no
costumes,
There's no reason for you not to be here.
You should be here in spring.
Well, yeah, I know that it's the same weekend as Skepticon. That is a bad excuse.
There's a spring one.
There's
a spring one.
Yeah, there is a spring one.
The 26th, 28th April, yeah. We have these weird liquors. There's this one that's like a liquor made from a Mexican herb that's grown like Texas and Mexico that supposedly was the original liquor for margaritas instead of triple sec. It was this aphrodisiac herbal liqueur thing. It's like the bottle.
Everybody in the room is like, ooh.
Bottle in our room.
The bottle is shaped like a plump squatting goddess figure, kind of like neck down, and so
it didn't surprise me. Don't worry about it.
It didn't surprise me at all that my mom has it.
Right out of her neck. Everyone's happy with that. That's fine.
But then she gives this bottle of honey liqueur that's like 35% and like thick like honey and just tastes just like it. It's really great. And
if honey was on fire.
Polish mead, which is too thick for my taste, so we just donated it.
Polish mead is made from bees.
they do Polish cherry wine. It's like that. It's like syrup, man.
It's made from the pits.
So I guess I don't know. Like we bought battle shots, so we played like a game of Battleship with shot glasses.
Yeah. So battle shots is like Battleship. Only when somebody hits your ship, you have
take
to drink
that shot.
Yeah,
your ship
is
like,
made up of shots.
Your destroyer is like 3 shots long. Then your gunboats are like 2 shots long. You have a few of those. Then you have like one scout boat that's just 1 shot.
8 shots.
And I don't remember if we mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast or before we started recording, but you guys played a game of this.
Yes.
And then came directly here to record.
We each played a game and we each lost.
You both lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We each had 8 shots of liquor. I took my last shot and then we walked up here and I started recording this podcast.
While you were doing that, I was pouring the sonic screwdrivers for the audience and I had one myself.
Oh, and I had one of those. Hey,
so,
that's one
of those
on my way.
Yeah. So,
Here,
it's shots o'clock, you guys. Super drunk by 11 o'clock, it won't be as fun.
Battle shots and then the sonic screwdrivers is fun. And then we have a crock pot full of cider and cinnamon sticks in our hotel room. So our room smells delicious. And then we just like pour a glass and then dump in some whiskey.
Yeah, it's not alcoholic cider in our room if you're interested.
But we add alcohol to it.
I do.
All right, I'll bring you a cup after this.
So I've had a pretty geeky, liver hurting weekend. That's been like, we prepared. We did fun stuff. We're not just drinking. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with just drinking. But
yeah, I got to tell you, If you know what drunk people look like, Nick and Molly look like drunk people right now. There's no question.
Hot drunk people. Admit it. You think Nick is hot. I mean, it's so, fine.
So do we get, before
he's
we...
He's a burly dude. I get it.
We're actually, we have an audience volunteer who's going to come up and do our five questions. But before we
Yay!
Do that, do we get the opportunity to gloat about the election a little bit?
Yes.
Do we get to do that? Because,
yeah.
Because
I'm going to gloat about that vote no. Because you know
yeah.
what? No.
We were talking about that all
I don't care what your
yeah.
politics. No, no. I want to say this on the record. For the internet, I don't care what your politics are. If you are against gay marriage, fuck you for your, I don't know what your reasons are. No, just
if
whatever reason you're thinking you're gonna.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're an atheist. Whatever reason you're thinking of right now, fuck you. There's no reason, and I will. That is the one political thing I don't budge on. Everything else, I'm willing to entertain
yeah.
arguments.
So
everything
I'm,
else, I'll hear the other side.
I agree. I guess I've. We once in our episode we said I'd love to hear like a secular argument against gay marriage. I actually had someone on
yeah.
Facebook in the discussion about the marriage amendment bring up a secular argument against gay marriage. I mean, it wasn't a good one. There aren't any.
What
good,
is it? What is?
There aren't any good reasons. But it was.
I don't know what the secular argument is.
Marriage confers economic benefits to couples, such as in how they are taxed.
Mm-hmm.
Money's more likely going to get handed on to a partner when the first person dies, rather than go to the government.
Right.
You know, if they don't leave it to someone in their will. So on a whole, letting more people get married, regardless of the reason why, costs the government money or income in a sense. And so the government doesn't have any best interest to make it happen because it's economically less
money. Do they understand?
It's bullshit.
Do they understand the marriage penalty, the fact that you actually tend
yeah.
to pay more taxes as
yeah.
a married couple
yeah,
than
true.
You do as single?
As a single person
not
with
to
no
mention,
married dependent.
Not
yeah.
to mention, I mean...
Dependents cost you money.
Yeah. Well,
people
cohabitating... Dependents cost you money, yeah.
People
yeah,
cohabitating
that's
are going to be saving the same amount of money, more or less.
One can
than,
live as cheap as two.
Right.
But
yeah,
sure.
I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We had the podcast with Tony Miller, and we were talking about it a lot. And we've talked about the gay marriage amendment because
yeah.
I think it pissed all of us
it's,
off.
It's something we're all
just
passionate
the fact,
about.
The fact
after
that we were
our
even,
family,
yeah,
like,
the fact that they
friends.
Were even fucking voting on it really pissed us off.
The,
and
like,
I really
the
thought
we love.
I was pretty pessimistic.
Effects.
I mean, I was looking at the numbers, and everybody, every single other state where they've had a vote up to this year, it hasn't. You know.
They've added it.
It's gone the wrong way.
Yeah.
They voted against
gay
marriage every time.
I was really hopeful.
Really
optimistic.
And they were saying that the polls tended to have a 7-point bias.
Yeah.
Which was
so,
enough.
Ours
way.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
That it, ours was We were the first state to turn this down.
Yeah.
We were the first state to. I mean, like obviously, it's not great. It's still illegal. Whatever. But like,
yeah.
we're the first state where they have said, "Let's define it in this horrible way,"
in the
and
Constitution.
We've said, "Absolutely
yeah.
not." So that guy,
and
his juggernaut, are done.
And not only that, but three other states voted
to legalize
gay marriage.
So, you know,
I mean, last Tuesday was a good fucking day for gay
mm-hmm.
marriage. It was probably
also,
the best.
Also, Nick and I are going to Colorado soon on an unrelated note.
Probably the best day for gay marriage in what? History?
I don't know.
So
maybe. There was it kind of got tainted for Molly and I. We shortly after the election happened and you know, we found out it was no. A bunch of people were linking to financial reports for the backers of the amendments, and we found out that the giant fucking megachurch, or the Churchstrosity, as we refer to it as
yeah.
Indian Prairie, Minnesota, that we have to pass to get out of our neighborhood.
We have
There's
to
no,
vote in it.
We have to vote in this big, huge, really you know, expensive flat panel TVs on the walls church. And
conspicuous consumption church.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're not thrilled about having to vote there, obviously. We're not thrilled with its existence. It's bigger than a baseball field. But
makes me think of an abattoir.
But we found out that they donated $50,000 to support the amendments passing. And they're our neighbors.
Just tell their people to vote for it. That's whatever. That's their right. Free speech.
Technically,
I really
it's
it
their
is.
Right.
That's
yeah.
their no. Free
no, you
speech.
Know what?
That's their right.
I think that's bullshit. I don't think polls should be able to happen in a place that has a fucking agenda.
There we go. No, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. But at the same time, though, whatever. I'm over that.
Also, I feel like if you're going to be donating to political causes, then you should be taxed.
The money is what bothers me. The money is what bothers me.
You're participating in our
yeah.
democracy, so you get fucking taxed.
If all they did was just say to their parishioners, we want you to vote yes. Our official position is that we as a church
should
vote yes. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
But when they start donating money to specifically affect one side or the other, that's when I think it's
yeah.
it is immoral. I literally think that's immoral.
Yeah. We posted it on their
yeah.
Facebook page just like, you
we
know,
don't have that kind of representation.
I posted on their Facebook page like, hey, you know, we're your neighbors in Eden Prairie, and I was disappointed to see on this thing that Financial Report that you donated so much money to support this thing that I consider to be, you know, hateful. And I just wanted to ask that, in retrospect, knowing that it failed, do you, if you had known ahead of time that it was going to fail, like, don't you think you could have found something a lot more useful and constructive
yeah.
and helpful and charitable
to
do?
Jesus would have wanted to do
with
that.
And then I said, how do you think Jesus would have spent $50,000? Do you think he would have spent it supporting some legislature that just
giving,
know,
it to politicians,
hateful
yeah.
and bullshit, and giving it to politicians for that, or spent it on something actually charitable, and they deleted it by response instantly.
Too. I made a post too that was equally polite. The most I said that I was disappointed as a neighbor, and that the most aggressive thing I said was it made me sick to my stomach that we had to vote in that church now knowing what I know about where their money went.
Yeah.
Like, at the time, it just bugged me, but it bugged me in a way that, like, I'm like, whatever.
You're an adult.
I'm an adult, exactly.
Yeah.
But this now makes me feel hurtful because that is literally an attack on Nick's mom and on Nick's
family.
On Nick's wife, mom's wife, and your brother, your whole family.
Yeah.
Your aunt. I mean, it's really frustrating that it's... So they deleted them immediately without comment. And
yeah.
But the nice thing about it that is that...
Well, if they're
going to
delete it, they're not going to make a comment.
Well, no, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like they tried
yeah.
to tell us something
yeah.
and then deleted
yeah.
it. Like, we're going to delete this because blank.
Right.
They just pussied out. But our friends.
Yeah, some friends of ours saw, because, you know, you see, like, your friends' adjacent activity on Facebook in the timeline. So some friends of ours must have seen us post on Grace Church's site and seen us talk about it in conversation. They started commenting on Grace Church's own post that they made, saying, like, you know... This is a really archaic stance, and like I feel, you know, you're making a mistake, and someone posted like a Tim Minchin video.
As a Christian, this hurts my
yeah,
heart.
Right.
Because I don't think that we are on the same page about
and
Jesus.
So we didn't ask our friends to do this, we didn't, you know, solicit their help in any way, but just to see that people saw an injustice, people that we know, people that we associate with saw the same injustice we did and spoke up the way we did. It
in
was
a polite,
really,
adult manner.
It was really reassuring, and it made
yeah.
me feel, it kind of brought some of that good feeling about the no amendment.
Yeah. And I'm being a bit, maybe too optimistic, but I just feel because we managed to swing this House and Senate in the state of Minnesota back Democrat,
yeah.
and because Dayton is, our governor is super supportive of gay marriage.
And because everyone's talking about it, we're getting
yeah,
a lot of good press.
I feel like we have a decent chance that in the next legislative session, they'll try and just... legalized gay marriage.
I was very optimistic about the marriage amendment failing.
I'm optimistic.
I am not as optimistic about that.
I'm with you, Tim. I am optimistic,
you know,
about
it. I think they're saying a lot
hope,
of...
I'd rather have my hopes be dashed than to be cynical about it.
They're saying a lot of stuff about, nah, we probably shouldn't do that right away, right now. But I think when they get in there, they might just decide to do it.
I know it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
I think it depends on whether or not the powerful... The people that were lobbying for no... actually go on to lobby the incoming legislature.
Well, they did a good job.
If they stay together and they try and push it to the next level, I think it could work. But
do you know how much national help they had with that, with people outside the state helping? I don't know at all.
I don't either. It wasn't nearly as much as the other side did.
Well,
but
right.
all of that, their help was more individual contributions rather than large corporate or
sure.
church donations. The Catholic Church and I think the Mormon Church were the two biggest donors to the
oh,
US.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest donator was the Minnesotans for Marriage people. They donated like $500,000 or something like that.
Yeah, but
and they were donations from
but anyway,
right. So anyway, we're gonna do our five questions for Mary.
Molly wants to say something.
Oh, sorry, Molly.
Just real quick, I want to link to this video in the show notes. There's a video of the marriage Minnesota Unites for All Families people, the people who are on our side. And they were at their campaign headquarters, and the guy who's in charge of the whole thing comes out, and there's a video of him, and he's telling everyone that they have hope, and it's going to be okay, and thank you for your hard work, and go home, rest easy, know that you did everything you could, and we'll find out in the morning. And as he's giving this speech, in the middle of it, someone comes in and gives him the news at about 2 a.m. And the pure shriek of joy that comes out of him and then everyone else is amazing, and it made me cry. And I'm going to post it in the show notes because you should watch it.
We'll put it in
If
there.
You've gotten this far, you listen to our show, please watch it. You can just fast forward to the right mark. I'll tell you where and do that.
Cool. All right. Mary, come on over.
Mary, come on
Mary.
So yeah, we did a drawing before we started to record from the audience, people that came here today, and said whoever wins the drawing gets to answer our 5 questions.
Yeah.
Mary, do you need another shot before you answer the questions? Or are you good?
I'm afraid if I have another shot, I won't be able to.
All right, all right.
That's fair.
I am drunk.
So this is Mary Bertelsen.
That's excellent. You're in good company, Mary.
Mary Bertelsen. So,
yes,
you know,
indeed.
Look her up on the internet.
Tim, why don't you go ahead and start her off?
Oh, because you're pouring the drink. All right, I will start. Mary, what is the best movie that you have seen in the last 30 days? Could be in the theater or on the home video.
Hysteria.
Oh, was it good?
I loved it. Hysteria is set in the late 1800s.
That's the vibrators one.
And it is a movie about the invention of the device nearest and dearest to every woman's heart. And for those of you men who don't think your wives have one, you're wrong.
Yeah, you are.
I gave her hers.
Yes.
So,
great movie about the invention of the Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Who plays the doctor?
Hugh Dancy plays
nice.
The doctor. And Rupert Everett plays the really flamboyantly gay inventor.
Excellent.
You know, that really reminded me of what was the movie with cornflakes with Cusack and the
with Kella.
Yeah. Welcome to Wellsville. It really looks like that from the trailer. Mm-hmm. I was instantly reminded of that, and I was like,
"Is Matthew Broderick in that?"
Yeah. In Wellsville.
Yeah.
That reminded me of that, and that was really fun. So I bet it was good.
No, women laugh hysterically at hysteria. I don't know how men react. Well, my husband did go to it, so he
husband quickly. What did you think?
I like the movie.
All right, there you go.
Were you laughing or kind of like muffled like?
And of course, I had to, had to own it as.
Yeah.
But
and hysteria.
When we saw it in the theater with a lot of other women who went with us, and he was one of like 2 men in the.
Oh yeah!
Bravo, sir.
Yeah.
So hysteria being because it's from the womb. Hysteria.
Right. Hysteria. That was a medical definition until the 50s.
Yes. And it also has a lot of commentary on the rights of women and the opinions of women.
Oh sure. Awesome.
Cool. All right. So I asked the first question, Molly. You get to ask.
All right. So our second question is, what is your favorite atheist character? Or skeptic.
Dr. Temperance Brennan on Bones.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she hasn't been brought up yet.
And I really like her because she's involved with a really annoying, strong Catholic, and she hasn't given ground.
That's, yeah.
She is a highly intelligent woman, scientist. She is committed to her atheism, and she has routinely has arguments with her significant other who... is very religious.
She's kind of autistic
professional partner.
She's got kind of an Asperger's thing.
Professional partners and living together.
They're together now.
They're a couple.
Spoilers!
I haven't really seen the show. I know Boriana's.
She's kind of autistic too, right? She's got kind of an Asperger's thing. She's a little...
They never say it on the show.
No, of course not. They don't come out and say that stuff unless it's for comedic effect, which is unfortunate. But yeah. Awesome. All right, third question.
Third question is, what's your geekiest hobby?
I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but I've become quite addicted to these little video games you can buy online for a couple of bucks. And they're based on fairy tales. They're really weird mysteries based on fairy tales.
What are the names?
Okay.
Well, the Red Riding Hood sisters.
Is it like an adventure game mystery or like Seventh Gift's puzzle solving?
The Red Riding Hood sisters?
Yeah, the Red Riding Hood sisters. Big Fish Games puts them out.
Okay.
a lot of hidden object adventure.
Oh, okay.
You know,
all right.
The Adventures
yeah.
of Briar Rose, the Frog Prince.
Oh, right.
That's super cool. Right.
Have you ever heard of Fables, the comic by Bill Willingham? Vertigo Comics puts it out.
I think we have a couple of issues.
Yeah, yeah, where it's like Bigby, Big Bad Wolf, he's the sheriff and all that, like... That's my favorite, like Rose Red, because from the fairy tale is one of my favorite characters.
Well,
in that
I like
comic.
Once Upon a Time. I like
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, I have a question for you two, Tim and Mary here. Not for Nick, because he's too young. Do you remember that show on HBO or Showtime that was about fairy tales and like Shelley Long and like famous actors?
I never had cable. I've never
okay.
had cable.
She's excluded me because we've had this conversation. I have no idea what the fuck she's talking about.
Something like it was. Well, it was right. Shelley Duvall. Thank you.
Yes.
And they were in different fairy tales retold.
Yes.
That was great. I remember to figure that out. We'll find it.
She got some big name stars.
Yeah, I remember. Yes, I watched that.
I've written down Shelley Duvall HBO fairy tales. We will find a way to get a link to that.
Because I had never seen it, we tried to find it through perfectly legitimate means on the internet. And we couldn't come up with anything because I have no idea what the hell she's talking about. And it sounds like something that would be at least like interesting.
It was in the 80s.
Yeah.
So you were like a child.
I mean, it's going to be terrible, I'm sure.
It was actually like fairy tale theater.
Fairy tale theater! Holy shit, that's what it was. Mary, yes.
I think we figured this out at one point, and we looked for it on.
Mary gets the credit for this
on
one.
TV talks.
All right.
So,
what's your favorite sandwich?
And
okay,
details.
Details.
Yeah.
This is going to sound really weird.
All right.
But my favorite sandwich is a fried egg sandwich.
All right.
However, it has very strict criteria.
Yeah, yeah.
The bread cannot be toasted.
What?
Oh.
Interesting.
The yolks must be broken.
What?
Okay.
The sandwich must be cut into quarters.
Okay.
Oh,
and square quarters, not diamond-shaped quarters.
Sure.
And you dip it in ketchup.
Now,
that sounds delicious.
Is there any
salt and pepper?
Salt
and pepper?
No.
Is it just egg? Is there cheese?
No.
Egg on untoasted bread.
Butter the bread at all?
No.
Okay.
Do you break the yolk before you close up the sandwich and cut it?
Yeah, okay. You break the yolk.
Oh, so it's a little bit runny in the sandwich, the bread absorbs a little?
No.
You break it before it's done cooking, and then you get solid egg with mixed yolk.
Oh, so it's almost like a scrambled egg patty.
And it can't be cut in any shape other than quarters.
Sure, no. I would eat that sandwich.
It must be dipped in ketchup.
Absolutely. I dip my grilled cheese sandwiches in
ketchup.
I'm all about that.
Dumped on the sandwich.
No. I'm all about
you
dip
with the yolk. Is it a dry, powdery?
It's not. It's like you said, like a scrambled egg patty almost.
It's a fried, hard fried
sandwich. I'm gonna try this.
Yeah.
I love fried egg sandwiches, but the way I make them is with a medium runny egg and Miracle Whip on toast, and a slice of American cheese.
Yeah, to me, a fried egg sandwich is not a fried egg sandwich without bacon. If you don't put bacon on a fried egg sandwich, it's just not. Yeah, well, I know.
I like turkey bacon.
Tragically, I've learned to live my life without bacon.
So when Molly goes to Gen Con and I have my bachelor week,
and pepperoni.
I get all the accoutrement to make breakfast sandwiches while she's gone. So I get up a little bit earlier without her there, and I always make myself like.
Because you got more to do, right? Like,
just a fucking ridiculous overdone breakfast sandwich, and I'm a big fan of fried egg sandwich like that's, and I dip mine in ketchup because.
Yeah.
Unless I do hot sauce. Sometimes I do hot sauce instead. But
I just need to comment that, you know, in our five questions, the question that we inevitably have always talked about the most is the sandwich.
Hey, guess what, math teacher's kid? I bet you could figure that out statistically with the number of minutes spent on each question based on all the podcasts.
I probably will.
Challenge accepted.
That one? Yeah, I do.
Okay.
You get the last
one. So the last one, what's the stupidest comment you've ever seen or question you've had regarding your... atheism or agnosticism, etc.
Yeah. I must admit I'm not real open about it.
Sure.
I don't hide it incredibly.
If you don't believe, then how often does it come up?
Yeah.
Let me just relate something that just happened to be at work. I have the 2012 page a day disaster calendar on my desk. It's great. It's funny.
Is it disasters that happen on that day in history? Or?
No, it's the 2012 doomsday calendar. Countdown to doomsday.
Yeah, yeah.
It has all kinds of fun things.
I wish it was in Mayan.
One the thing was prophecies Nostradamus got wrong.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Now, you got to realize the person in the cubicle next to me, the only one that is in direct contact with me, is an incredibly right-wing, extremely religious person. I mean, to the nth degree. Her license plate is he's able.
Are you shitting me?
And we get along by only discussing gardening and recipes.
Sure. Well, at least you can get along and be professional.
He's
able. Anyway, I thought this page was really funny in the calendar, and I said something about it to her, and she goes, well, how many did he get right? And I said, well, I think he's, they say some of them, I haven't really followed Nostradamus that well. And she goes, well, the only place you can get accurate prophecies is from the Bible, and they are very specific, and they are 100% accurate. And I'm sitting there, and I just want to scream, and I know I can't say anything or get myself fired.
Right.
Yeah.
And because there are about 800 people where I work. I only know of two other atheists.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're writing a book, any book, and you want, let's say it's a science fiction book where there's some sort of prophecy that a character needs to fulfill, it's really easy to make those prophecies 100% accurate.
Yes. You know what else? If you think about it, all of the biblical prophecies apparently haven't happened yet. They're all at this, they're all for end times.
Well, there are prophecies about the coming of Jesus, about the coming of the Messiah.
Right, but the end times.
But the trick is all the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah are pretty nebulous, and they're pretty easy for Jesus to just say, hey, check it out. I can't say how ridiculous they are because I don't know anything about them.
But the way it works is all they have to say is it hasn't happened yet.
Right. Yeah. And they're 100% accurate. None of this happened yet.
They'll never not be 100% accurate because they're never going to happen.
Sure, sure.
So they can never not happen. There's no years on them or anything.
Yeah, I know. That's fair.
It's stupid.
I mean, it's not fair. It's fucking ridiculous, but I understand.
It's like saying flip a coin. Heads you win, tails I lose.
Right.
There's no,
And you got to realize, I'm a scientist. I work in research and development for a biotech company.
Oh, okay.
And it is horrifying to me the number of extremely religious people.
And it's frustrating. Our previous guest, Laura Akagi-Vasper, talked about that a little bit with evolutionary and creation people. But thank you very much for your answer. That's fine. Absolutely. And
studio audience.
Now I can go have my drink.
Yay!
Yeah.
So Harry, I'll finish mine with you guys. All right, they have our drinks left. So if you have your drink left, let's do this.
Down.
Raise your drink. Yes, some lawn chairs.
All right, so lasagna.
I don't have a drink.
That's really good.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, let's finish it.
So. OmegaCon. This has been Geeks Without God at OmegaCon, the Slack con in Wisconsin, and we've been having a lot of fun. Like us on Facebook. We want to thank Mary again for her answers to our questions. You can find us at geekswithoutgod.com. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Oh, your lamp only has one bear? That's cute. Our lamp, two bears.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
That is
you drunk.
That is some serious.
You useless drunk.